Hello, this is Carol Mars, and for my local history option, I am going to find out as much as I can about the Berwick Mechanics Institute and the Free Library. Today I am interviewing Mrs. Malcolm, the date being the 21st of August 1991, to find out the role of the Mechanics Institute in the Society of Berwick. Alright. In what year was Berwick's Mechanics Institute open?
1862.
All right, thanks. Have there been any alterations to the buildings?
Well, the original library opened in another part of town, and it moved down here in... Heavens, I don't know if I can find it. Do you want to turn that off? Shall I find this bit?
All right.
Right, I'll give you that.
All right.
It was originally erected at the intersection of Edward and Peel Street, but in 1880 it was moved to its present site on the Prince's Highway, close to the historic well-known Berwick Hotel. The licensee at the time was Robert Bain, and this is probably written in this little thing here too, who by his generosity made it possible for the move. He gave us this land, by the way. He leased this crown allotment to James Gibb and others for 500 years from the 12th of March 1878. 500 years, and it's called a peppercorn rental. Excuse me, I'm going to cough.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, a shilling a year was the rent he charged. I don't know if anybody's ever paid it. That was for this block. The land was to be used only for the purpose of a mechanics institute and public library. If for any reason this agreement was broken, then the land would be returned to the Bain estate. The lease and the bill for the costs were beautifully handwritten in stylish copperplate. Now that lease is in the bank at...
In Berwick?
Yes, just up here.
The State Bank or no. Commonwealth?
Westpac. Okay. Yes. And they've got it in a... You know, that... Oh gosh, I can't remember what it's called now. Special box, anyhow. And we have got it out and photographed it. And there is a copy of it up on the wall over there if you want to have a look at it later. So then in...
What happens after that 500 years?
Well, it'll be ours. I mean, it's ours. Yeah. We'll all be... We won't be worried too much about it by then.
We won't be around.
No. That's in the year 2378. Right? You can anybody be very worried? And I think that's probably written down in that thing anyhow. Oh, isn't this dreadful? I forgot to get a glass of water. I've got a nasty cold, which is very unpleasant. Turn it off for a sec.
All right. How is the library financed?
Well, at present, we get a grant, a small grant from the council, but most of the running costs are run by... we run stalls and things like that and raise money. We also were given a grant by the Casey family, and it's... Oh, you've... Listening to this, you don't have to write it down.
Mm.
After Lady Casey died, her daughter and her daughter's four children made us a donation of $50,000, and we've invested that, and we get interest from that. And the interest is goes towards buying books and running, helping to run the cost of the library. But we have other people in Berwick who make donations to the library as well, cash donations. And then, as I said, we run stalls and we sell things in the library, jam and handmade articles, woolen knitted articles.
Though those stalls that you sometimes see out in the main street?
Yes, well, they have different ones. You have to get a permit from the council to have a stall, and we get a permit once a year. And we run one stall a year. But some, now, for example, a couple of years ago, Dr. Figgins, who lives up the top of the road, opened her house, which is a very old house, about over a hundred years old.
Is that the one on the corner there?
Yes, beautiful old.
Yeah,
and she's
nice.
Restored it. And she's restored the same furniture inside that it had 120 or 30 years ago. And so she opened that house and made a charge for people to go through. And she's done that twice for us. And we've had a garden party there and had stalls and people have paid to go through the house, so they've raised quite a lot of money, a couple of $1,000. So there are always people helping. in this sort of way. Sorry, I'm a bit hopeless. I should have got someone else to do this.
Oh, no, you're okay. Good. Why was there a need for the Berwick Mechanics Institute in the era?
Well, I think you might have to read that up in this little brochure. I'll just see if it says anything. I haven't looked at this for a long time. I should have. No, well, in the first place, when Australia was first settled, these places were opened as places of learning. This is called Mechanics Institute, and it didn't mean that they were mechanics who came here, but they were anybody who wanted to learn to read or to borrow books or so on. And mechanics institutes were also called schools of art and academies of art, and were a product of the movement for popular education in the early 19th century in Britain, formed originally to improve the education of working men and instruct them in their trades. They later broadened their aims and attempted to become agencies of adult education. The Mechanics Institutes of Australia were based on the Edinburgh School of Arts pattern, and early in 1827, the Master Tradesmen of Hobart found the Van Diemen's Land Mechanics Institute. In 1833, Sydney's School of Art was opened, followed by Melbourne's Mechanics Institute in 1839. And that is interesting, that Melbourne's Mechanics Institute, which was formed in 1839, is now called the Athenaeum, and that was a lending library. It still is, I think, but I used to borrow books from the Athenaeum Library when I lived down at Toora in South Gippsland. They used to rail the books down to me. Oh dear. Between 1850 and 1929, nearly 600 institutes were founded in Victoria. The name Free Library was added in order to gain government subsidy. They subsidised the Free Libraries so that they gave them enough money to buy a few books. And I don't know if it tells you, it tells us here when it opened here either. And they used to have penny readings. People would come from all around, and sometimes they couldn't read, sometimes they could, but there would be books, and the local papers would be brought in, you know, they'd be brought down here from Dandenong or wherever they were printed, and people would get up and read them, and people paid a penny to hear them read. Gosh, this is dreadful. The penny, which went to the maintenance fund, any person could read, or he could be read to, or relate anything useful or amusing. A chairman was appointed for the evening's entertainment. It was too far to travel to Dandenong for the Argus, which cost sixpence, or the Age fourpence, so they were rarely seen, but they were brought to the library and read out here, and books were exchanged, one with the other, on a continuing basis. The Berwick Institute was originally erected at the, you know, I've told you that, at the intersection, and it's in that too.
Yeah.
And I've told you all that, so you don't need that bit anymore.
So, was there a fee or a charge for the use of the mechanics?
Says here, yes, there was. Subscription was 1 shilling a month. That was back in 1826, was it?
When it was erected.
1862. I'm dyslexic. Yeah, it was 1 shilling a month was charged as a membership fee. There's no charge now.
It's free.
So it's a free library. You go on. I don't think this is of any...
Was there any special use for the Mechanics Institute besides the library, or...?
Well, yes, in 1884, a school of design was commenced through efforts of the committee who'd been in communication with the Commission for Promoting Technological and Industrial Instruction. But anyhow, that didn't go on for very long. No, people came and gave lectures. I think that's quite important. And also the building, the original building, was used for lectures. It also was the Baby Health Centre, I think once a month, and that went up until, I think maybe until only about 20 years ago, because old Mrs. Loveridge told me that she used to come and help here with the Baby Health Centre, and so so did Dr. Stevenson's first wife, Val. And I don't know if it tells you this, they had debating classes and lectures. And they had a chess club held on Friday evening. Other activities included concerts, biograph entertainments, which are sort of camera things. I think they weren't moving pictures, but they're a type of film. I'm not sure on that. And other lectures.
Busy place.
Between 1883 and 1921, membership increased from 25 to 51. Now, this is interesting. That's up to 1921, and there were 51 members. And now, I guess, we've got... Well, what did I write down here? We got 1,200 new members just last year, in a year. So I don't know what the membership is at the moment.
Does that include all the Berwick Regional Libraries? Or?
No, that's just us.
Mm.
We don't belong to the Berwick Regional Library. They're quite separate. There's the Dandenong Valley Regional Library Service, which covers the whole of Berwick, and down to Pakenham. They're included there. And I think they might be at Cranbourne as well. But we're quite separate from them. And ours is entirely voluntary. Those other libraries are run by paid librarians, but our librarian just gets an honorarium, which is a very small fee to run the library. And that's another reason why, of course, we can afford to do it, because we don't have to pay any wages. Our typists give their time, and the people who cover the books do it for nothing, and the people who work on the desk.
Was it always volunteer? Or?
Yes, well, it has been. I know, I believe that the lady who was here up to about 1900, I think she got a shilling or something. I can't remember. But I think it's pretty well always been free. And I haven't really read this thing through either to be able to... I'm sure they didn't have a paid librarian anyhow. No, I don't think so. I think it's always been free, and it has. I've only been here 10 years, but.
Are you a volunteer?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and I'm also the secretary. In 1933, the Berwick Institute became a member of the Library Association of Victoria. Book loans were made from the public library and the Athenaeum. Pakenham Institute had an exchange of 50 to 100 books with the Berwick Institute for 6 months. Oh, there were debating classes held here as well. I don't know if I told you that before. Yeah. Always I have, because I've got that in the chest. Now, what else did you have on your
last question? Who worked at? Do you know who worked here, or
who has worked here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't brought my book with me. I've got some names written down in an old. Well, they're mostly just local people who've worked here. A lot of women, of course, because there are a lot of women who are quite well educated but who, for various reasons, don't want to take a full-time job or don't want to go out and work, but really have a few hours to spare each week in which they want to do something, and this is quite stimulating and quite interesting, so they come and help here. Some of them do cataloguing and quite difficult work. Dr. Stevenson was the president of the library and from 1961 until about 2 years ago. And Mrs. Parks, who was the librarian down at St. Margaret's, came. The books weren't catalogued here until 1961, and she came up and did the cataloguing, which was quite a long, took quite a long time to do. There was a Miss Chappell who was secretary, and she resigned in 1961 after 31 years of being the secretary. So she'd been there from 1930 to 1961.
Yeah.
This is a very old history that somebody wrote in the 70s, so it's quite out of date now. I don't think there's anything there of any great concern to you. Now, the thing is that the Caseys also, Lady Casey gave us $50,000 back in 1980 to help build the new library. And it was an anonymous donation, but she wanted us to remember her husband particularly, who died, I think it was just shortly after he died. And the council put another $50,000 towards it and bought the land next door, which was a vacant block. And then we who worked in the library had to raise $11,000 to cover the cost of the carpets and the bookshelves and things. But by the time the library was built, we had to raise $44,000, we on the committee, and we did this in 3 years, so that was a pretty big effort. So we're all very proud of it.
Did Lady Casey let you tell everyone later on?
She didn't tell anyone, no. Mm-hmm. And then she died about a year after the library was built, so she wasn't actually here at the opening of the library, unfortunately. But Lady Murray opened the library. She was the wife of the governor of Victoria. And he just died this year, Brian Murray. But there's a plaque up there that, over there on the wall, that tells you that she opened it. You'll see it, I'll show you in a minute.
All right, thanks.
And there are portraits there of Lord and Lady Casey. They're copies of the portraits. The real portraits are upstairs here because the sun has a bad effect on them, so they've had to be put up there. And also there are three large hand-painted silks in frames up there, which were given us by the Casey family.
Read now, something about that today.
These silks were painted by Lady Casey's aunt. Her name was Ellis Rowan, and she was very famous for her Australian wildlife paintings and floral paintings, Australia and New Guinea. And so the Casey family gave us those, and we've had them just restored and framed this year. But that they were painted about 1907 or something. They're pretty old. Sorry, this sounded lovely on your tape. And up on this, in the mezzanine up the back up here, we've got archives and local history records, which are, you know, for historians who want to go. They're not for loan, but people can come in here and read them. And in the last, I've just counted up, in the last 10 years since I've been here, we've had 75 people helping at the library, and right now there are 50. And that 50's been pretty static. The same ones have been helping, I suppose, for 3 or 4 years. Some of them are fairly old, so a couple have died in the last couple of years. You don't need to write that down. Well, I think that's about all I've got written down to tell you anyhow. Do you think that'll cover all you have to do? You'll probably get most of the stuff you need out of this anyhow.
Yeah,
thanks
a lot.
If you want to just come up and have a look at the paintings. The painting of Lady Casey was done by Cecil Beaton, who's a very famous English photographer and artist, and who did a lot of paintings and photography of the royal family. And I think they were probably friends, he was probably friendly with the Casey family. And the Lord Casey is by an Australian called Dargie. So I'm sure...